Richard Petrie is a former Black Cap, and I'm a mad Korean cricketer, so really excited to have Richard here. Was rough the other night, wasn't it? Who very early on identified the difference between the top performers and the others was the top 2 inches. Now, Richard is a mental skills coach and also has a successful business helping architects in much the same way that we help plumbers and electricians. So Richard has worked with lots of top sports people and currently works with the Wellington Firebirds cricket team. So Richard's going to show us how emotions drive our results, an approach to changing our unhelpful emotions, such as stress and worry, so we can bust through the fear factor and those barriers that hold a lot of us back from actually getting the results that we deserve and that we desire. So I want you to give a warm welcome to Richard Petrie.
All right. Thank you, Tony. Awesome. Right, I was in Christchurch and I was driving into town, my mother's car, and I was listening to the radio and someone was interviewing Jeff Howarth, remember him? And they said to him, what's the difference between an international cricketer and a first class cricketer? And he said, it's the top 2 inches. He said, a lot of first class cricketers are just as good as international cricketers, but they don't have it in the top 2 inches. And I sort of thought about that, and I thought, yeah, that makes sense to me, because I was a very, very motivated young cricketer, but I was at a point where I wasn't really, I wasn't in the emerging players, and I wasn't in the Canterbury B team, and I wasn't in the under 20 team, and I wasn't in a whole lot of things, but I was highly motivated, so motivation wasn't enough. I was kind of good enough, I was all right. But I really took an interest at that point. When he said that, I thought that makes a sense to me, and I really want to master the mental side. And so I went out and studied stuff. There wasn't much around at the time. I imported a couple of books from the US, and ended up going on a few different courses over the time, and some of it was quite good. But I really felt that the mental side was the big thing, and I started to get into the mental side big time, and I was about... My brother had burnt our family house down accidentally. And so I was at my grandmother's place at university, and I started to do some mental stuff because I wanted to play for Canterbury. And I started to train myself mentally to do this. And by the time the season came around, I knew I was going to get in the Canterbury team because I basically just brainwashed myself that I was going to just by doing visualization and stuff like that. Has anyone done visualization? Lots of you. It works really well, doesn't it? I mean, pretty much for most people, if you do visualization, you work out what you want and you visualize it, you seem to get it. It's kind of cool. It is. It's kind of amazing. And I don't know whether it's the law of attraction or you just mentally program yourself and you just, I don't know whether you just make yourself better, but you do seem to get the thing you visualize. So it doesn't really matter why it works, I don't know, but it worked for me. And I played for Canterbury that season. I knew I was going to. And then I thought, oh, I'm playing for Canterbury, what's next? And, the next thing was play for New Zealand, but I didn't really want to think that, because I thought that's a bit, I can't really see that happening. So I then went away and thought, oh, I'm going to try and, I'm going to visualise something else and see what can happen. But I couldn't really come up with anything that inspired me. And so in the end of it, I came back to, what I really want to do, if I'm secretly honest with myself, is play for New Zealand. And once I got that, I thought, well, that is what I honestly want. And then I just started to put myself on a course of visualising playing for New Zealand. And to start with, I couldn't see it. I couldn't imagine it. And then after a while, I just sort of sat there like paint by numbers. I guess I could see this little piece and this little piece. I just went on and on. And in the end, I knew I was going to play for New Zealand as well. And this has got nothing to do with what we're going to talk about today. But seeing you started me, seeing you asked, so then I started to do it, and I knew I would, and then I did. And the interesting thing was that when I'm in the New Zealand team, I remember being in the changing room at the SCG and playing Australia in a day-night game, and I'm going around the changing room, and John Wright's reading a book on the subconscious mind, and Martin Crowe's doing some visualisation. And I said to Danny Morrison, he said, what did you do to get here? And I said, did this, and I did a lot of visualisation. He said, oh yeah, common sense. Oh, really? Yeah, he said, oh, it's obvious, of course. And the interesting thing to me was, the guys at the top, to them it was common sense, but I can assure you, everybody down below, it wasn't common sense, right? Now the interesting thing about sports people is they're not a hell of a lot different to business owners, right? They're motivated, they have ups and downs, good days, bad days. You guys certainly have dreams and your vision of what you want to do and where you want to take your business. It's not always easy. In fact, most of the time it's hard, right? But you stick at it because the good days are really good. And if you get it right, it can be fantastic, right? And that's what you're in it for. You're in it for the good one. So things like visualization, stuff we'll talk about today, is like just as relevant for you, obviously, as you already know, as it is for a sports person. So I'm not really going to care that you're profitable tradies. I'll treat you as high-performance business people, if that's okay with you. Right. Okay, because you are, okay? So what are some things? I do have a couple of things I want to take you through. But let's just see, what are some things that you're most interested in hearing about or learning about, particularly from a mental side of getting the best out of yourself? Yep.
I've read a hell of a lot and practiced the visualization and all that. And what I find is, unless I'm on my brain 100% of the time managing my thoughts, I just slide back into that negative, limiting way of thinking. Okay. So I'd kind of like to know, how do you get a handle on that without it being really hard work?
Right, so how do you easily stay upbeat and positive? Okay, cool. So how to stay... I don't know, I'm just going to say up, for want of a better word, but upbeat and focused on good stuff, instead of taking your mind going back to focusing on shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Okay, thank you. What else? You've all got a brain, so I know there's, you know, all of them will be slightly, various forms of being screwed up. Yes?
You made a comment before that you were, to visualise getting to the New Zealand team, you took little pieces. Obviously,
yeah.
Can you
elaborate on that? Yeah, sure. I reckon this is how I would put it. I couldn't, if I said, well, paint a picture of yourself playing for New Zealand. At the time, it was Martin Crowe, and it was the end of Richard Hadley, it was Danny Morrison. And if I said, you know, I'll see yourself playing with those guys, I couldn't really, right? So what I did was, I thought, well, okay, can I imagine, who's in the team? Mark Greatbatch, Martin Crowe, Danny Morrison. Could I see myself walking out in my whites with those guys? Well, I suppose I could imagine that. So it's almost like, if this is the whole picture of me playing for New Zealand, I just did one little piece at a time, like that. That's kind of how I would imagine it in my head. And then I'll imagine something else. Well, imagine you're batting and someone's... I'll imagine another little piece over there.
Yeah, it was
an acronym. And I could see that, you know, if I sat there and worked through it, I could see it. Now, to translate that for you, you know, you've got to know where you want to be. You've got to be somewhere aspirational, otherwise you're just going to drift. So unless you're fired up about something, it needs to be, and this is the other thing too, it needs to be, I think, 100 out of 100. Right? Your goal, whatever your goal is, it needs to be 100 out of 100, because, you know, if I work with people with goals, even say the Firebirds, right? I work with the Firebirds and say, what's your goal? They'll give me something and I'll say, out of 100, if 100's like, I'd wake up every single morning and I'd be so passionate about that's what I think about and I'd do anything to get it, where would you be on that scale? And most of them would say, oh, I'm pretty motivated, 70, 80. Right? 70, 80. Right? So, it's, well, what about, you know, what's 100? I don't know. Right? But you've got to find the 100. What's the 100 for you in your business? And actually, we'll go through an exercise in a minute. I'll show you how to get up there, and it's actually reasonably easy. And once you find out what is 100 for you, or how you make yourself more motivated, all of a sudden the lights turn on, and it's so much easier for you to get yourself to follow through. I mean, Tony and the guys have got all the systems, it appears to me, that if you just follow the bloody things, you can't, you know, if you just do it, you'd be all right. The hardest part they probably have, and you have, is getting yourself to follow through and do it. That's the hard part. Because you get lost and distracted and sidetracked by Muppets and everything else that goes on, and you fall off the wagon. But if you just stay on the bloody wagon for long enough, you couldn't help but do well. But if it was easy, everybody would do it, right? So it's good that it's not easy, but you have a chance. So I reckon you've got to find your 100 out of 100, and we'll do a little exercise in a minute. Well, I'll look to take someone up the motivational scale and we'll just see how they do it.
So I can't remember what the question was, but that's the answer. just a little piece at a time, and then after a while, you sort of didn't see everything. And then I could see myself. Then I could see myself playing for New Zealand. And then after a while, and the funny thing is, you know how long it takes to form a habit, you know, like 20 or 30 days or something, but after about 20 or 30 days of doing that, then I started to think, you know, I believe, actually, I could. There's only 6 first class teams in New Zealand. Okay, so, I mean, I've got a 1 in 6 chance at least if I'm in that team. And then I said, oh, well, you know, if there's 1 in 6, probably some of them are too old to play for New Zealand and some of them are never going to be good enough. So I'll take out 2. So now I've got a 1 in 3 chance. So I've got a 1 in 3 chance. I mean, you know, I'm in there with a hand. So I started to believe it, but the more I saw it, the funny thing is, the more I saw these pictures, the more I started to do it, the more I believed it. And you guys have done this, because I know you've all had goals and achievements, so you've done some form of this, but not as deliberately as me. And after a while, I just knew I was going to achieve that. And it's a really cool feeling when you've gone through it in your head so many times, and you know you're going to achieve it. It's a cool feeling to know you're going to do it even when you haven't done it yet. Because all the stress is gone. It's just, I'm waiting for it to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen exactly, but I know it's going to happen. So that's a really cool feeling worth doing, you know. That's worth doing. If you've got goals in your business, it really is, you know, find that 100 out of 100. Dig it up. Hopefully, maybe you do it today. And it's a cool feeling. And just see yourself being successful, because you've got to get yourself into action and into gear. You know, it's not just consciously you need to do it. In fact, I'll show you this. It's like your mind is like an iceberg, right? So how much of the iceberg is above the surface?
2 inches.
2 inches. Yeah, maybe. I think 20%, but I think technically speaking, it might be 13. But anyway, it's you know, most of it's below the surface. So let's say it's 20% and 80% below the water. Right? Now this is kind of a metaphor for your mind. Right? There's a bit above the surface that you're aware of, that you know you think you're in control of, and you probably are. And then there's a whole lot more that you've got no control over. Right? So for you, you want to be confident and motivated and focused, and yet something takes over. So I'm going to say to you, this is what it is. It's like you're sitting on an iceberg. What's your name?
Annie.
So it's almost like you're sitting on the iceberg here, and you're paddling away, and you want to go in this direction over here towards this target. And you're paddling away, but the current is going that way. Is that what it feels like? Yeah. There's a good example of this. I went to Tahiti, and I went to speak to the Asteron Insurance Brokers Conference. I don't know why, I just knew one of the guys, he was a friend of mine. So it was a good gig. They said, oh, you know, go for three. They said, you can go for 3 days. I thought, 3 days. And how long is the conference? He said, 6 days. And then he came back to me and said, oh, you know, you're going to have to stay for 6 days now. I'm sorry about that. And I said, oh, that's all right. But he said, if you have to charge us more, that's okay. Just charge us more. I was like, all right. Longer holiday, more money. How good is this? So anyway, but I went there thinking, I wouldn't mind losing a bit of weight because I'm going away for 6 days. I'm going to go for a run each day and just eat a light. It's going to be hot, so I just eat salads and fruit. Good idea. So I was a bit like Annie. Got a little plan. Going to go in this direction. Sweet. Got there day one. Went for a jog for about 15 minutes, but it was so hot. I then went to the gym, which was air conditioned, and just sat there for a while. Didn't do anything. So I thought, well, at least I've done 15 minutes. It's better than nothing, right? But went to dinner that night and turn up. And these insurance guys are like, the reason they're all fat is because they go to these big junkets and then the meals, there's just these buffet tables everywhere with food on them, right? So I thought, oh, wow, they're having a big meal tonight. This is obviously this is the big meal for the week or something like that. So I filled my boots, because I thought this is it. Went back to Maburay that night, which is one of those ones out, you know, those ones that jut out off the water, and sat down and went to bed, and I was so full because I'd tried a little bit of everything. It was, you know, and thought, I wish I hadn't done that, you know,
Wish I didn't, but that's right. Tomorrow I'll get into it and I'll start. Well, okay, wake up the next morning feeling terrible because I'd had a terrible sleep because I was so full and thought I'm not even going to go to breakfast. And then after about half an hour lying there, I'm now too hot. So that, oh, well, I'll go for a walk. I might as well go for a walk to the breakfast room just to be social because I'm a little bit I, but a little bit D. So I'll go and meet people, it'd be a nice thing to do. And that way, if I do a terrible speech, at least they'll feel they can't, you know, boo or throw apples at me because they like me, hopefully. So I went to the breakfast room and I thought, oh, well, I'll tell you what, I'm still on this thing here that I'm going to eat light and do some exercise, but tell you what I'm going to do, I am going to just have a light, you know, just have some fruit. So get there, and then I get to the tables, and I've got the option of these large plates or the very, very large plates. So I think, all right, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll grab the very, very large plates because I see this chocolate waffles over there, and I'm only going to have one triangle with a little bit of chocolate sauce on top. I'm going to have one of that with my fruit salad. So it'll still be a little bit, just one little corner waffle, that won't do any harm. And then, pick up my big plate, and I walk over to the buffet table, and then I must have fainted or lost consciousness or something like that, because I get back to my table, and I've got all this food on my plate, and the chocolate sauce is running into the bitty sausages, and I'm sitting there looking at it, thinking, this is ridiculous, you know. I'm here to speak to them about mental stuff, and I've got no control over myself. Right, so I ate it all when I go back for seconds. So it was really, you know, it was a great example of even Mr. the Mental Skills guy, I'm coming here trying to do this, and then something's taking me in the other direction. What the hell is that? You know, I wish I knew. I wish I could tell you today. If anyone knows, let me know, would you? No, actually, I do know. I've worked it out. So, a lot of people, they're very good at this part. So this is the conscious mind, subconscious, right? It's conscious, subconscious. This is the one you need to know about. This one down here. We're all good at this one. Now, the problem is these two speak different languages. So if I want to influence this part, great. We're pretty good at that. What language does this speak? Any ideas? Have a guess. English? Well, yes, good point. When I say language, I don't mean literally, but you're right. What's that? Emotion? No. But good guess. Sorry? Actions? No. Well, I'll give you, you don't know, because I mean, I've just made all this triangle stuff up, so I'm the only one that knows the answer. But it does seem to work, as I'll show you in a minute. So, logic, right? This one understands logic and reason. So I say, logically, I want to eat less and go for a run every day. Makes logical sense. Then this part takes over because my subconscious doesn't understand logic or is not interested in logic, right? Now for you, it may be, you know, for me it was food. For you, it's probably something else, right? We've all got, you know, maybe I'm going to give up my smoking. Makes logical sense to give it up, but then something takes over and I can't. Or I'm going to go get fit, good idea, and then 2 days into it, you're on the couch watching TV, watching other people, fit people, right? True though, isn't it? So what are some other examples of people saying one thing but their whole something takes over and does another thing? Politicians? Yeah, right. I say that and I do something else, probably true. Smoking, eating, drinking. I'm just gonna have one. Anyone have that? Just gonna have one. Yeah, good intentions. Something else takes over. Right, something takes over. Right, probably, you know, with this program. Right, I'm gonna do everything, have everything in place by this date, and then something takes over and you don't. Right, it happens to us all the time. It's the biggest challenge you've got. Right, so this one understands logic. This part down here understands two things, and we'll do a little exercise. I won't do the first exercise I'm going to do. We'll do the second one. There's the clue. Any ideas? This is the language that two different languages, I and E. Oh, that was very good. So she said emotions, right? Yep, it understands emotions, and the other one starts with I. Images, very good. I did give you a major clue by talking about visualization for the first 10 minutes, didn't I? Images, It seems to work, right? These two things. So if you want to influence this part of your brain, start talking the language that it understands. Let's do a little quick demonstration, because you're thinking, oh, there's a whole lot of, he's just made this up, he admitted it before. Well, true. Let's do a little exercise. I want everyone to put out their right hand. Right. Now, and hold it, because we need to put something into it in a minute. So I want you just to imagine there's a lemon, okay? And it's a very bitter lemon, all right? And just look at the lemon, imagine the color, and see the light from the thing shining off it, and imagine the wax, and give it a squeeze. Yep. And just give it a rub. Feel the texture of the skin with your other hand. That's it. I said feel, I didn't say fondle it. Right? It's a lemon, right? And then take out a wee knife and just plunge it into the flesh and get a bit of juice coming out. And put the knife down because it's quite sharp. Careful. All right. I didn't say drink it. Right. And then squeeze it, and now just squeeze some into your mouth and swirl the bitter juice around. All right. And a bit more. Squeeze some more. It's very bitter. All right. And then bite into it. Right. Now, some people are pulling their face. Two things usually happen. Either your mouth goes very wet and salivary, or it goes dry. So who has wet? Okay, and who goes dry? Right, why is your mouth going wet or dry? You can put it down now, you haven't actually. Why is it going wet or dry?
You like it or you don't.
You like lemons or you don't like lemons, but you don't have a lemon in your hand. Eh? You emotionally what?
Your association.
I know, but there's no lemon in your hand. Your imagination. Well, because you're I know, but you can imagine it, but there's still no lemon in your hand. So why would that make a difference? I know, but even though it's an experience and you've done it before, you still know there's no lemon there. So why is your body reacting as if it is? Muscle memory. Yeah. Don't you come out with your fancy psychological terms to me. I'm the psychologist. Yeah, well, okay. The thing is, right, here's the secret. Here's the secret, and this is a really cool thing. This part of the brain doesn't understand the difference between what's real and what's imagined. Isn't that cool? Well, it is when you go think of something else, right? Doesn't understand the difference between what's real and what's imagined. So even though you know logically, consciously, you know there's no lemon in your hand, but half the room their mouth's going wet and the other half their mouth's going dry, and yet there's no lemon there. And you know there's no lemon there. Your body's reacting as if it is, right? Interesting, isn't it? So how can we use that to make more money? This is high motivation. High motivation, low motivation. This is low enjoyment. When I say low enjoyment, I sort of mean hate type thing. This is, we'll just say low enjoyment. And this one's high enjoyment. Okay? Now each of those emotions you've put down fit somewhere really on this quadrant. So for me, if I said things like, if I was stressed, where would I put stress? Where would you put stress in here? Yeah, low enjoyment. Now, for some people, stressed would be up here, right? Like, I don't enjoy it, but I'm quite motivated and I get stuff done. So high motivation, high performance. For some people, stressed might be down here. Okay, so I'm just going to put stressed up here. It's not fun, but it can get you moving and get you doing things. Not sustainable. Like, you can't stay in this quadrant forever. You can do it for a while and just grunt things out, right? But what happens if you stay stressed for too long? You burn out, and then where do you go? Yeah, you go down to here. Low motivation, low enjoyment. So motivation / performance. So down here. Now, this would be depressed, generally. And there's a whole lot of other emotions. So we'll call out some emotions and tell me sort of which quadrant you think they might be in. Go on. Afraid? Okay, where would afraid be for you? Does it motivate you?
Yes.
Yes, so it might be over here.
Yes. No, but down the bottom, because of that joy.
Well, this is enjoyment on this side, but it still motivates you to take action.
It's there with stress.
Up here, okay. So fear.
Yeah.
Okay. Fear. Afraid, fear. Okay. What's another one?
Joy.
Joy. Okay. Where would that be for you? Yeah. Right. So it feels good. Gives me high level of motivation. Good. Interesting. What else do people have?
Anxious.
Anxious. Okay. That's definitely going to be over the side, isn't it? And is it high? Does that you? It does. Right. Okay. But it's not nice. I'll tell you what. I found, you know, when you play international sport, you wake up the morning of the game and you feel that sick feeling in your stomach. Well, I did. And it's not nice, but it does make you perform. And there was an article last time the Lions toured New Zealand, and someone was rooming with Johnny Wilkinson, and he said to Johnny Wilkinson, how long does it take before that sick feeling in your stomach goes away? Right? How many games do you have to play? And Johnny Wilkinson said, it never goes away. Yeah, that's right. And get hammered. So, you know, sometimes it's part of it. But wouldn't it be nice if you could move it over here? Like, that's what I always thought. You know, I feel anxious and I can play well, but, you know, wouldn't it be nice? And there must be a nicer way of doing it than that. Okay, what's another one that you've got?
Excitement.
Okay, excitement's probably going to be over here.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What else?
Challenge.
Good one. Where's that go? Top right? Yeah, so challenge. Now, I'll tell you what, there's not a lot of difference between the emotion of challenge and the emotion of anxiety. They're not a massively different emotion, other than with the challenge, you're actually enjoying it. It's kind of the only difference is there's, you know, so anxiety. You know, what turns anxiety into challenge? Finding a way to enjoy it. That's it. Yeah, treat it like a game for some people, and all of a sudden it becomes a challenge, and now it's top right. Right? Feels good and helps you perform. Because this one's not nice. I'm not saying there's a place for everything, but down here is like the chill out zone. Right? So this might be Friday afternoon drinks. Just chill out. Okay? Friday afternoon drinks. This is a chill out. The All Blacks doing their pool session. Chill out. Sweet. Over here is, this is kind of like, what do I call that one? The crash. Yeah. This is where you crash. Right? You put what? Frustration, yeah. Would that be down here? Usually, yeah. Frustration. Okay, good. Now, with all your emotions, I want you to put your emotions onto the quadrant. So just do that now and see where you're spending a lot of time. Just plot them in your own way. So what did you notice? If these are the sort of the common emotions you feel in your business, are you finding yourself consistently in one of the quadrants? Or are you all over the place? All over the place? Yep. Is there any quadrant you don't like being in that you'd like to make it more on another quadrant? Yep. I'm going to guess that a lot of it for a lot of you is up over here. Would that be the case? A lot of you feel you have a lot of stuff over here, so you're performing, but it doesn't feel good? Yep. Okay. So what's the secret to getting it over here? Add what?
Success.
Well, you can't always add success because that's external. That's a result of your actions.
Change
your subconscious. we'll have a look at that in a minute. It's just, look, it's the enjoyment. So by finding a way to enjoy the situation more, it comes across. So, you know, anxiety can become a challenge if you can find a way to enjoy it. Not easy necessarily. Stress is not a lot of difference between stress and excitement, right? Not a lot of difference, other than the fact that stress, you're hating it, and excitement, you're enjoying it. Yes? Right. Yeah, right. It's very similar. Yeah. So the question is, you know, if you've just got to find, if you can enjoy, and they often say in sport, don't they? You know, if teams that are doing well, they're loving what they're doing and they're enjoying it. And they talk about the Warriors all the time because the Warriors are so up and down. I actually worked with the Warriors for 2 years, a few years ago with my brother. Well, it was a typical season. They were both. I think they made the finals or something. But the reason they're up and down is because their thoughts are up and down. Their emotions are up and down. You know, it's about knowing where you want to be and how to get there. Okay, it's how to move yourself across. So what we'll do is we'll do a little exercise. We've only got. So what I'd like, just as an exercise here, just to talk to you about that pyramid and all that, is I want to do a demo on someone. So I need someone who maybe is a high, you know, outgoing and doesn't mind people and doesn't mind. We're not going to do anything too deep or meaningful here, but I want someone who, let's say, their motivation level is, if this is zero for wanting to do something, maybe it's getting fit, and this is 10. Maybe their motivation level is about a 3, and they'd like to be more motivated and more, you know, fired up about doing this thing, but they. They've tried and failed at doing that thing a number of times. Annie?
I'm trying to quit smoking.
Okay, all right. Well, let's give her a clap and get her up here. Right, you can sit here, Annie, in the chair of death.
Zoom.
I mean, right, where are you for quitting smoking?
Motivation?
Yeah.
Yeah, around the 3.
Around 3, yeah. Okay. So you know that pyramid I had before? Like that. She's consciously wants to give up smoking, so she wants to go in that direction, but there's something going in the other direction. Right? Makes sense? Okay, so remember I said it was images and emotions? Her emotion is level 3. That's her motivation level, is level 3. Where do you want to be for giving up smoking?
10.
She wants to be at 10. Right, so why don't you just take yourself to 10 for giving up smoking and you'll be all sorted? Right. I wish I could, but she doesn't know how, right? She doesn't know how. Okay, fine. So you would like to be at level 10.
Yeah.
All right. So here's where we want to be, and here's where you are now. Sweet. Right, you're at level 3. What do you see when you're thinking, you know, we talk about visualization, stuff like that.
Yeah.
What do you see about stopping smoking? When you think about giving up smoking, what do you see?
No more social enjoyment.
Okay. No social. Hang on. Now, what I don't want to do is shove stuff in her head because I want to just pull stuff out, right? Okay. So this is what she's seeing, but thank you very much. Yep. Yeah. Zip it and give me the key. Thank you. No, very good. I like involvement, but not on this exercise. Right. So no social. What else do you see happening?
Downtime for me.
Right, no downtime.
When I go out for a smoke, that's when I have my mental time.
Yep, it's me time.
Yep.
So that's her chill out time.
Yeah.
Right, so if I go back wherever it was, you're stress, you know, go. And that cigarette is like, you go, and then I go out and have my cigarette.
Yeah.
And then I come back in and I go, and then I go out and have another cigarette.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
Now you need that, if you're going to be a high performer, you need to go from high performance, chill out. High performance, chill out. Otherwise, what happens, if you don't go for chill out, you end up going where? You go over here, right? And if you stay over here for too long, you have to have the chill out, but it means to chill out down over here, right? So it's good that she's got a chill out thing. At the moment, her chill out thing is smoking, right? But it's a bloody unhealthy chill out thing to do. So what she's trying to do is good, the vehicle she's using to do it is bad. Interesting. No, we haven't started. Right, so what she sees, you know how we talked about visualizing the lemon, and our bodies react as if the lemon was really there. What she's seeing is no social engagements, no downtime. She probably just sees being stressed. That's what she sees in her head. That's what she's seeing. Now, she didn't even know she's seeing that, but that's what she's seeing. And so her body reacts as if that's really happening whenever she thinks about stopping smoking.
And I want to smoke.
and she wants to smoke because she's getting stressed just by thinking about it. So of course, can you see why she's only at three? What a fucked up set of bloody, no wonder you're stuck, because effectively, you know, if you stop smoking, you've got no friends and you're highly stressed. That's what she sees. Can you see why it's so hard? So her subconscious, the old triangle, is going, no way, I'm not going to let you do that. So she's saying, I want to give up smoking. And her subconscious is going, no way. No friends, stressed, angry, grumpy with family, lose friends, everyone hates you, die an old lady with cats peeing on me. So it says,
oh my God, yeah,
exactly. So it says, I'm going to protect you. Don't worry. I won't listen to this part. I'll protect you and we'll keep going our own merry little way because it's better than the alternative.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So it's doing its job, but you just need to be a little more creative. Okay. So what would have to happen if you got to, let's say, five about smoking, if your motivation level got up to five and going, oh, well, yeah, that's a bit better. I'm more motivated now. So have you been 10 for anything in your life? Of course you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what that would feel like if you were 10.
Yeah.
And you've been 7 for anything? Yeah. And you've been 5?
Yeah.
So get that feeling now.
Okay.
5 out of 10 for something.
Yeah.
Now do it for smoking.
Okay.
Right. What do you see now?
See me having more money.
Right.
I see me having more energy.
Yep.
Being so tired.
Yep.
Yep. See me not getting nagged by my partner and daughter.
Okay. Okay, so not nagged. So more loved. Let's say more loved.
Yeah.
More loved, good.
I see. That's probably the main.
That's not bad. Right, not bad. Give her a clap. Now, is that a better picture? Like, if you're seeing that picture, it, you know, so that picture equals that feeling. It's now getting easier for her. Okay, let's go up level 7 for giving up smoking.
Right.
Actually, let's go 8.
All right.
Right.
I'd see me going on holiday.
Now, stop. Have you been lying to us?
No.
Well, see how quickly she gets up to 8? Right, is she at 8? Are you at 8 now when you think about this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I said to before, why don't you just go to 10? You've just been lying to us. See how easy it is to go up the scale? She's just going, right? She's just going, right, we're on holidays?
Yeah.
Okay, where are we going?
Right.
Am I there as well?
Right.
Right.
Only if you pay
yourself. Oh, okay. Pay for myself, all right.
Dollar.
Okay. Raro, holiday in Rarotonga. Yeah, what else do you see?
I see we've been able to lie by the pool and enjoy it without constantly going.
Right, okay.
So I can actually relax.
So you are relaxed.
And read a book and have a drink and, yeah. And I've got money to pay for a drink.
Yeah, right. Money. See, and now look at her body language. Is her body acting as if that's really happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting, isn't it?
Damn it!
Yeah. All right. What would have to happen for you to get to 9.995, not 10,
because
you haven't paid me anything? I hold the final 0.05%. It's 495, and I take credit card. So just in here, what would take you to 9.95? That's where you're like, oh my goodness, I've just got to.
Yeah, I would see me being...
Not would, I want you to see it.
Okay, I see me being really fit and healthy.
Yep. Yep.
And going into a shop and buying like a $600 dress that I got.
All right, with the money you've saved.
Yep.
$600 dress.
Yeah.
All right, how does that feel?
Awesome. I wanted to say something else, but I
don't think I will. Not here. We all know what it is. We all know what it is. How does that feel when you look at that picture?
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Now, is it easier for her to make a decision about giving up smoking feeling like this?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's she done? Just summarize for me. What's she done? What's the difference between 10 and 3? Yeah. She's changed the picture in her head. Now, if you'd have had a chat with her and you'd say, why don't you just give up smoking? She wouldn't have known why she's not giving up smoking. The reason she's not giving up smoking is smoking equals no friends and being stressed. Now she's seeing, no, actually, smoking equals slimmer, more healthy, a nice dress, and great sex. Oh. Sorry, didn't actually. We don't believe you. Does anyone believe her? All right. There you go. She already gets it. Something, gee, I wonder what the other thing was if it wasn't that. Crikey. We're all thinking, we're all visualizing what it can be. We can't help it. All right, that was 9.995. What would take you to 11? Yep.
And buying a brand new car, paying for it cash, driving out and going, I've paid for this, I've got no debt, it's mine, I own it. Yeah.
Nice. And what does it mean for you to have been able to walk into that car yard using wearing your $600 dress, having come from a fantastic sex session, and whatever else you do, that's even better, and you're walking, you're driving out of that car lot, what does that mean to you?
It means I've made it.
Right. And why is that important to you? Why is it
important? I want to make it.
Right.
I don't want to struggle.
Right.
I want to have success and freedom and fun and money.
Right. Freedom, fun, money. Okay, and you can see that you've earned it as well.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Give her a clap. Stay there. Interesting, right.
Okay.
So you can have the car and the dress and all that type of stuff is possible,
yeah.
Right? And you're at 10 and you're seeing that by giving up smoking, all that stuff is possible.
Yeah.
Anything holding you back from making a decision right now in front of all these people who will hold you to it, saying, I will not smoke ever again, starting from right this second. No, there's there's an offer in the back there. He can get you started. No, is this you're the husband? Just hang fire from a easy cowboy. Now, I'll tell you, you're still going to have to replace.
There.
Yes.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
Right?
Still...
Yes, you need the chill out.
Yeah.
Okay? So until you've got that replacement,
yeah.
So at the moment it's cigarettes, is there something else that could be slotted in here, which is your chill out time, your me time, that you could, not sex, because you can't just break out of the office every 5 minutes and, yeah, I don't know, I mean, you, the boss, this wasn't the session you're expecting, was it, Tony? No. No, that's right. She's only joking. Right, what can we use that gives you the same thing, which is that release, that unwind, the all the good stuff that the cigarette gives you, but doesn't have the harmful effects of the cigarette?
Going
for a walk.
No.
Horse riding. Hang on. She'll come up with something. And maybe a couple of things.
Just like a pretend cigarette.
Well, there's the vapor, I suppose. I don't know if it'd be best if she comes up with it, so zip it. But good interaction.
I don't know, I can't All I can think is food, but then I'm going to end up the size of
right.
the
cow. Okay. Well, can anyone, let's come up with some ideas. What do you guys use sometimes just as a release, as an unwind, if you pressure, and you go out and you just do, what have you? A walk for 5 minutes, okay. What else do people use? Cup of tea? Fishing, okay. Some music, okay. What was that? Build models, okay. Vacuum cleaning. Wow.
So close after the sex competition.
Yeah. Right. Reading. Read a
puzzle.
Okay. Sudoku is one option. There you go. Sudoku is one option. She likes that one. Yeah. Anything else that people do? Power.
Oh, yeah.
Power nap. Okay, maybe a power nap. Okay. No, that's not for her. Exercise. She likes that. She likes that. Yeah. Okay, good.
Online shopping. No, it's been more. Cars online.
What would you be 1, 2, 3 out of that lot? We've got Sudoku, power nap, test drive. One, okay.
Yeah, or going online and looking at.
Okay, online looking at cars.
Yeah.
Okay, that could be your unwind thing.
Yeah.
Right, a lot more healthy, yeah. Keeps you focused, and then you go back to full on back to business.
Yeah.
Business time. Okay, so now you have some options here. Probably not all the options, but some options to start with.
Yeah.
Because you need to replace that. Right, you need to replace that.
Yeah, because it feels like a big hole.
Yeah, of course. It needs to be filled with something.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's part of your thing, right? Cool.
Yeah.
So now that you do have some alternatives to unwind and release,
yeah.
We got 11 was buying a car.
Yeah.
How do you feel now about making a decision in front of this room?
Terrified.
Terrified?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I don't know if I'll be able to stick to it.
Well, go back to 11. Get into 11. Buying the car, driving around, you've made it.
Yeah.
You've seen yourself a success. Fun, money, successful. Rarotonga, slim.
And that other thing you're not going to tell us about.
Yeah, which is even better than sex.
I didn't say it was better than sex.
Oh, you didn't? All right. So the point is, making a decision up here is much easier for you, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, making a decision up here is infinitely easy. At 3, it's really hard.
Yeah.
Because all she sees is doom and gloom. Up here, the body is starting to react and getting used to a new vision of what could be.
Yeah. So how right? do you stay up there?
Well, you have to, okay, so how does she stay up there? What do you guys think? Yeah. Keep. What you'll naturally do is, look,
the
reason you were stuck down here is because every time you thought about giving up smoking, this immediately came into your head,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now you have all these options that could come into your head as well.
Okay.
So you could be at 3 if you want,
yeah.
Or you could be at 11 if you want. It's going to depend what picture you put inside your head,
oh,
right? And remember, your subconscious, whatever you put into it,
yeah.
It'll take on and it'll... So whatever picture you put, it'll have the corresponding emotion.
Oh my God, that's
yeah.
so weird.
Yeah.
Because I just thought about quitting smoking then, and that started coming. I went, oh, you know, I don't want that. I'll have that thing.
Thank you. Yeah. You can have this one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's quite amazing.
Yeah. As quick as that. Now, smoking is that you're unaddicted after about 48 hours chemically, apparently,
yeah.
But it's just a habit. But I don't think it's the habit of smoking so much as the habit of thinking. Right? So if you can get out of the habit of doing this shitty one down here,
yeah.
Which is not true,
yeah.
No downtime. Well, you can still have downtime.
Yeah.
You just have to do something else. No social. You can still go out and meet with friends and have a good time.
Yeah.
You just won't blow smoke into their face. Right? So, yeah, you might have more friends. Yeah.
But the point is, you can look at this, you can look at this, you can look at this.
Yeah.
But this gives you the freedom to put yourself anywhere on the scale you want to be. Now, she said at the start, I said, why don't you get to 10? She said, I don't know, I can't. Was that true?
No.
No, she didn't know how, right? Same with you. How motivated are you out of 10 for your goals or whatever you want to achieve? If you're not 100, well, could you be? Yes, but you'd have to change the picture of what you see your business doing or what you see doing in your business. That would have to change. So you'd have to do the same thing. But when you change the picture, your emotions change. So you get your emotions up to 10 or 11 or 12 by changing the picture. And remember the iceberg? Right, all we've done is change the picture. Or Annie's done, she's changed the picture, it's changed how she felt about it. And as this has changed and this has changed, the idea of smoking has, she's got the ability now to flip the other way quite easily,
yeah.
Right, if she wants to. Simple as that. Simple as that. How long have you been trying to give up smoking?
Since I started when I was 13.
Right, that's kind of a...
30 years.
30 years, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So you've got the option now. If you want to make that decision...
I was waiting to feel like that to make the decision rather than putting the picture in place that
right.
would make me feel like that.
Interesting. She was waiting to feel like 10 out of 10, that she's made a commitment.
Yeah.
Right? But how are you going to get that feeling
exactly.
without that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I haven't.
Right.
Yeah. So I see that creates that.
Right.
What I was doing was bringing that.
Yeah. And showing it this shit.
Yes. Yes.
And hoping that sooner or later this was going to go up while you're looking at this TV program.
Yeah.
And can you see why she was stuck?
Yeah.
You know, like. Now, for you guys. You know, where are you stuck at 3 out of 10? Where are you stuck at 3 out of 10? Because hopefully this exercise has shown you don't have to be. You know? You can go up and down as quickly. She said you couldn't do it, and she's been stuck for, I don't know, 30 years. But within 5 minutes, she's up at 11. Now, she's not lying to us. She just thought she couldn't go up there as quick. She didn't realise it was actually that easy. But it's the same for you. Where do you want to be? You know, what are the things in your life where you want to be? So write down one area in your life where you'd like to be taken up the scale. Okay, write down one or two areas where you'd like to lift yourself up the scale for your motivation or your enjoyment. Yes, and give Annie a clap as she goes back. Thank you, Annie. So, because if you thought I was just doing this for Annie, you'd be wrong. I was actually doing it for you. So you're not actually as stuck as you thought you were. You are capable of changing really quickly. If you want to. Okay, who's got an area in their life that, we won't do it, you know, we'll be out of time, but just an area that they would say, I would like to go from 3 out of 10 motivation up to 10, or 3 out of 10 enjoyment up to 10, same thing. Okay, yep. What? Share it if you can.
It's productivity.
Cool, okay, you want it, you're 3 out of 10 for motivation to be productive, and you want to be up to 10, good. Thanks for that.
To chill out.
Oh, okay. Okay, so women often have that. They just go, never give themselves the, but you know, the cigarette is the only thing, but it's such a bad way to chill out from some points of view. So yeah, if you want to be a high performer in your business, it's important that you build in your me time. You need double it. Often shopping is a great way to do it, you know? Right, who else has got another area they'd like to up to 10 in?
Family,
okay, right. Interesting. And that could be part of your chill out as well. It's important to connect with your family and chill out with them so that you can actually go back to work and be at 100%. You can't go home and keep working all the time and then expect to go back to the office the next day and be fully charged and ready to go. You know, it's like
you can't perform 100% all the time. You've got to build in the downtime so that you can switch back on and switch off, switch on, switch off. Otherwise, you're not going to be a high performer. You're just going to slowly wilt. Okay, so if you want to be a high performer, make sure you've got some downtime with the family and other sorts of stuff that makes you chill out. Yep, what's another one?
Retirement security.
Retirement security, okay. So get your motivation up for getting that, my investments in place. Yep, where were you for getting that in place out of 10?
Oh, maybe a
5. 5, okay. So that's sort of a nothing number, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nothing really happens at 5. But where would you like it to be?
Well, ideally at 11.
Exactly. All right.
Yeah, the option, it's not to stop work, it's that you don't have to
get. Yep, exactly. Who'd like to be there? Everybody. Different feeling in business if you're working because you enjoy it.